Mr. Schimmerhorn's Horse Apple Field. Mark Heckey. In the summer of 1962, a typical hot day in Riverside County, on a clear-skied Saturday, we were expecting company. My mom and her sisters were very close, and since moving out west from Arkansas during World War II, they had all lived near each other. They would either share houses or rent houses on the same block. Like many of the baby boomer era, most of my aunts and uncles had four kids. There were now 14 cousins, ages ranging from 2 to 12. At 11 years of age, I had shot up to a tall and gangly size. "Your cousins are coming over, Aunt Louise and Aunt Elaine's crew," my mom announced. "Great, is Larry coming?" I answered. "Yes, he is. Now, don't be messing around the canal. You're the oldest. I'm counting on you keeping them out of the water." "The water is high and it's getting dangerous," she warned me. "No worries, we'll just play ball. It's a great day for a game," I assured her. Today, the cousins were on their way. This was a source of celebration for me, with four cousins and my brother, plus a few scrounged-up neighborhood kids, we could play baseball. I loved baseball. Well, I really worshipped baseball. It was my pure and true religion. I had a box of baseball cards and a Strat-O-Matic baseball game. I usually recruited, maybe even pressured, all the cousins and nearby kids into a game. The grown-ups always wanted to talk, drink beer, and smoke cigarettes without the noise and confusion of 8 to 10 kids. Often they would say, "Get out of here, go play outside." I didn't mind this as it created an excuse for a game. We lived in a small house on a big lot in Highgrove, a little town at the north edge of the county. True to its name, Highgrove was covered in orange groves from horizon to horizon. The groves had preceded the houses, and many of the irrigation canals passed them. Our home was right next to the Gage Canal. The canal often had a strong current of water, but was sometimes transformed into a greenish, brackish muck littered with broken beer bottles and cans. The vacant lot beyond our backyard fence was owned by Mr. Schimmerhorn. He was probably about 60 years old, but we thought he was ancient. His lot, a spacious 1 acre, was the pasture for a horse, an old, gentle, sway-backed filly named Snookums. The vacant field had barbed wire on three sides and the gauge canal on the west side. We had to step carefully through the barbed wire to set up our makeshift baseball diamond, using rocks for bases and an old piece of plywood for a backstop. When we had first begun to play in the horse pasture, we set the field up to hit north to avoid having the ball be hit into the canal, a potential disaster, and we would hit towards the barn, near where the horse grazed. In a past game, a spectacular and rare home run had struck the tin roof. The bang had brought Mr. Schimmerhorn out. Angrily, he asked what we were doing, then realized we were just boys playing baseball. He kindly stated the rules for using his horse pasture. Do not hit towards the barn, do not startle Snookums the horse, and don't leave any mess. Since that day, we have had an understanding about using the field. We named the field Horse Apple Field for the many brown, smelly obstacles deposited by Snookums. We needed to run gingerly around them to avoid soiling our tennis shoes. With the left field against the canal, the left fielders had a key role in the game, keeping the ball from going into the canal at all costs. My cousins, Larry, Billy, Gary, and Johnny, joined my brother Mike and neighborhood kids arrayed around the field. We had to play 4-versus-4 style ball, and therefore used imaginary players that got outs based on which major leaguer we chose to play the outfield and missing infield spots. My imaginary player was Willie Mays. he could cover a lot of pasture. Unfortunately, this time our dark-stained and unraveling ball shot past the left fielder and into the canal. The race was on. We needed to run along the canal and try to retrieve it before it hit the siphon 4 blocks away. From a bridge, we used an old rake to try to stop it, but were too late. We raced along the dirt service road until we found it against the culvert grate, a few feet from a green cyclonic downrush where the canal went under the street. "Time for the human chain," I shouted. This was our desperate technique to get the ball out. We linked arms and legs and sent a man into the water as the rest of us formed a line down the steeply sloped canal wall. The lead man would grab the ball, and we'd pull back the line until ball and boys were safe. We returned home as the sun was setting. We saw our moms near the back porch. "Come in, guys, time to eat." My mom looked at us as we trailed in. The lead man, Larry, had water-stained sneakers and now greenish-blue jeans. "You didn't go in the canal, did you?" my mom asked. "No way, that's too dangerous," we replied in unison.